Docket number 81036, City of Boulder versus BFE. Council, are we ready to proceed? All right. Come on up, and if you're comfortable removing your mask when you're speaking.
I am, because my glasses fog up, so.
Yeah, yeah, okay, and we're fine with that. Would you like to reserve any time?
I would, 5 minutes, please.
Okay.
May it please the court. Good afternoon. I'm Cynthia Alexander with Dickinson Wright here on behalf of the City of Boulder City and the Boulder City Fire Department, who I'll sometimes collectively refer to as the city. This stems from a determination by the city of that the two new 10,000-gallon tanker vehicles that BFE purchased for use at the city's municipal airport would unsafely store fuel in violation of the International Fire Code, specifically IFC 5704.2.2, which prohibits tank vehicles from being used as storage tank. It's undisputed that it's within the city's authority to make such determinations about which vehicle can operate on their airport, and it's consistent with the city's discretion to manage the airport and to promote fire safety and public safety. In fact, BFE does not meaningfully dispute that the city has the power to make these types of decisions challenged here, or that the city has the authority to operate, regulate, protect, and police the airport. The authority is found in NRS 496030 at subsection 1A. The city and the fire department in particular have broad discretion to interpret and enforce the fire codes. The basis for the city's determination are found and adopted by the IFC. The relevant codes were IFC 101.3, that provides the purpose of the IFC, which is basically to have a reasonable level of life safety and property protection related to hazards of fires and explosions for existing and new structures. IFC 104.1 provides that the fire code official is authorized to enforce that code and should have the authority to render interpretations of the code and to adopt policies, procedures, rules, and regulations to clarify and the application of the provisions of that code. IFC 102.9 provides that requirements that are essential for public safety, which are not specifically provided for in the IFC, shall be determined by the fire official.
Ms. Alexander?
Yes.
Let me just kind of take you to kind of where the district court ended up and the basis, right? Obviously, Judge Williams was concerned that obviously he found that this enforcement was arbitrary and capricious and found that, you know, all these other tank vehicles also were used somewhat for storage. And so the focus on this one or two seemed arbitrary and capricious. And I don't know if he was concerned, but the opposing party is concerned that perhaps there's some self-interest at work here on the part of Boulder City. Why don't you go ahead and address those things?
Absolutely, I will do. Thank you. I want to highlight that the substantial evidence that was considered by the city, and I think in order to do that, we have to have a simple understanding of the vehicles used in the airport fueling process. And this case involves two kinds. There's mobile refuelers and there's fuel tankers. Mobile refuelers are the ones that operate on the airport property. They travel back and forth between vehicles. That's the mobile part, and they refuel those aircrafts, and they vary in capacity on this airport. It's between 2,500 and 5,000. What BFE purchased was not a mobile refueler. It was a fuel tanker, and a fuel tanker is a large vehicle that holds a large quantity of fuel. In this case, it was a 10,000-gallon tanker.
But it was capable of fueling an individual, either helicopter or aircraft, correct?
It depends. It could be under certain circumstances. In order to do that, though, it would have to do what they call an over-the-top, which is also prohibited by the regulations and the IFC. And so the difference there was...
That's new to me, the over-the-top issue. What is that?
So it's just a matter of how it's refueled. So the mobile refueler is much smaller, much more nimble, if you will. A big tanker like that doesn't have the same equipment. And so in order to get to the fuel, you're at the top and you're going from the truck. And so that is just a different, it is under the rules and regulations of the airport, it only can be done at the per request and then approval of the airport manager and the fire chief.
Counselor, where is the record site for what you just said?
Well, so the difference here is that that's not how they were using it. And I think that's the important point here.
Maybe when you sit down, you could come back with the record site for what you just said.
Will do.
Thank you.
So what the court did is they focused on, the court kind of focused on, and says at one point, I mean, the lower court does say in his ruling that, I don't have the site right here, but he does say that the, that a reasonable person would find both that the tanker is a mobile refueler. And that's simply not correct. I mean, they're two different and distinct things. And that distinction about what they are and how they use becomes very important.
I have a question, though, because I read somewhere that there's a 5,000 capacity thing there.
That's a mobile refueler.
Right, mobile refueler. So it's 5,000. So at times it's going to be storing and it's also going to be fueling. And there's a 4,000, but yet 8,500, you draw the line at.
So the difference is again, how they're used. So what BFE has said that they were going to do is they were going to take this tanker, and the tankers are the things that you see on the highways. They're fuel tankers, you know, the with the big round tanks. And it was going to get fuel from somewhere else off-site, which it's allowed to do, and then it was going to come, and as it said, it was going to store it and have it sit on the airport property. It said that it would be moved weekly or less, and it said that basically it was going to be used so that mobile refueling could come to it. So these little mobile refuelers would come to it, get the fuel that they needed. They would then go out and fuel the aircraft directly. That tank sitting there with the large quantity of fuel, and the only purpose there is to hold that fuel, that's considered storage under the IFC. There's a definition under the IFC of storage.
Didn't they say throughout the district court proceedings that they're not going to store it, that tanker was actually used mobily to provide fuel, that actually moved?
Well, they did say that. They also said it was going to be used in the capacity that was, is to sit there. And the reason that that's more realistic is a tanker can't go up and down the tarmac like a mobile refueler can. I mean, it's just logistically not possible, in addition to the fact that it wouldn't be able to fuel all of the aircraft, unlike a mobile refueler, which would be able to fuel all of the aircraft.
I guess I want to move a bit to the standards that apply to us reviewing this determination by the district court. And the question I have, this was not a hearing that presented live evidence. There were declarations and there were representations by counsel. And that's part of what makes it a bit challenging in our review of it.
Mine too, I wasn't there.
Yeah, okay. And so this injunction has been in place during the pendency of this appeal. Is that correct?
That is
unstayed?
Correct. That is correct.
So this has been operating out at the Boulder City Airport.
It can be. It's not being utilized in the way that Justice Silver said.
Right. I understand that. And I have the representation of counsel, which says, and this was counsel for BFE, which is the FBO operator. And then either the smaller mobile tenders can come to it and get the fuel and go over to the helicopter or the plane. It does have the capability and the system in place to be able to provide fuel into a helicopter and a plane. So we have this record that says this can do both. We don't know. You're telling us that it would be rare that it would ever directly fuel the aircraft. But they're saying the opposite. And we have concessions by counsel, and it's, you know, we're asked to look at this somewhat deferentially and determine whether there was substantial evidence for the district court's finding, whether there was an error of law, which we reviewed de novo, and then over that, was there an abuse of discretion in balancing the four factors? And I think it would be helpful to us if you could address your facts in light of those standards. At least it would be to me.
Right. So BFE did say that the stated intention of the tankers would be to refuel on a, quote, weekly basis, and that it would be used, like you said, to refuel others. So it did acknowledge that the that it would be, like I said, sitting there and used used kind of as storage, waiting for the mobile refueler to come to it. It also, let me find it here.
But on days there are no customers, the 3,000-gallon tanker is also storing fuel, correct? I mean, that's the their point on the other side of the aisle.
Right, and the district court did say that at some point every vehicle has fuel in it, right? I mean, every vehicle does have does have fuel. And the question is then, at the discretion of the city, which it does have, it has discretion under the IFC, the fire chief has that discretion to make that determination. One of the big concerns, in addition to the stated use of it, which again, as they stated, was that they were only going to move it weekly. They stated that their weekly use was just under 1,400 gallons. And so therefore, it would be that about twice monthly that it would be removed from the property. So it's sitting there waiting for these mobile refuelers to come to it and to get, which is the definition of storage. It's the holding and kind of waiting for something else to take the fuel, the mobile refuelers, and to go.
And what are the safety concerns with this 10,000-gallon
tanker? So the safety concerns are part of it is the volume of it. So unlike at the airport like McCarran or Harry Reid Airport, there's an individual fire department that sits at that airport. Boulder City does not have the luxury of that. It's obviously a smaller city. Their fire department is in their firehouses. And so if there was something traumatic that happened, such as this, by the time they got there, all they could do is watch, maybe document. I mean, there's not any, when you have a system this big. The other difference that was talked about is that the difference in the materials. So if you have a vehicle that is a transport vehicle like the tanker, it is made of aluminum. It's a different material than if you have something that's permanent in storage, which is the steel facilities. The reason for that is that when it's on the roads, when it's going over the national highways, apparently you want that flexibility in that so that if there's an accident and they have to access the liquid or the hazardous material in there, they're able to do that much, much easier through aluminum than if it was sort of this reinforced steel. And so because of that, the fire department has a concern that it's sitting there. It's in a material that is less strong, frankly. It can't be as contained, and that in itself, if it was in an actual storage facility, if it was for its purpose. And the IFC does specifically say that tankers cannot be used as storage tanks. And there's a difference. I mean, those are actual different things. A storage tank usually is located underground. It's usually reinforced. And BFE could have, under its lease, asked for and gotten a license to do that.
It's Alexander.
Not
this is Justice Hardesty, and we don't have the clock up here, so I'm not clear where your time
I'm
is.
Quite sure.
Your argument, but with the chief's permission, I'd like to explore a more fundamental question with this injunction. A couple of my colleagues have referenced, the factual underpinnings supporting this preliminary injunction are a bit, I'll just say, unstable, given the absence of the usual requirements of proof and the like. But more fundamentally, could you address why this injunction is appropriate or inappropriate, in that it seems to alter the status quo? And I'd like you to go into that, if you would. My understanding is the status quo before this injunction was entered, there was no tanker, hadn't been used. Perhaps that leads to some of the conjecture that is contained in the record about what it will do or won't do or can do or might do. But fundamentally, this injunction seems to alter the status quo. Could you comment on that, please?
Absolutely. The status quo was altered. Prior to the issuance of the injunction, the tankers had never been used. The status quo was for about 12 years previous under the leases. BFE had the mobile refuelers. It would get its fuel presumably from the fuel farm, but could have gotten it in other places. And those mobile refuelers would have gone up and down the tarmac and done the refueling. When the tankers came upon the property, that is when the deputy fire chief at the time notice them. There's not a certified fire inspector in the city of Boulder City, and so they hire out the one that works for City of Henderson. He did come on the property. He made a determination as a certified fire inspector of the issues. That's when the stop notice was issued. They had a time in which they could to remove those vehicles from the property. So they actually never operated at all. It wasn't until the injunction was issued that these tankers could actually then be used. So the injunction itself changed the status quo. The status quo would have been to not use them to see whether or not, to go through this exercise then, but rather the status quo was changed, and that it wasn't until that injunction was issued that the tankers were allowed to be used. They are not being used currently in the way represented that they are going to make direct fuel.
And one other point, Ms. Alexander, to the issue you're addressing. One of the claims asserted by BFE was one for declaratory judgment on IFC 5704 2.2. Was there any motion on that? Was that ever briefed?
In some of these, I have to rely upon the same record you do. The former city attorney was the one who filed the pleadings and did it, but it was not there, and the court did not address it. I've read the transcript as well. The court didn't address it in its order whatsoever, so I don't have an understanding of what the court was thinking in regards to that.
I want to circle back to something you said in answer to Justice Hardesty about historically this was a change in the status quo. And I get your point about BFE with the 10,000-gallon tanker, but I saw in my reading on this case that somebody called Lake Mead Air had been driving around with an 8,000-gallon mobile tender. I don't know the vernacular, right. But whatever it is. Right. And they'd been going around with 8,000 gallons. And I don't know when that ended, and I couldn't tell. What was the span of that?
I don't have those specifics either, okay. But I think the focus here, and it's the same focus that the lower court had, was on this number. Is it 10,000? Is it 8,000? Is it 5,000? Is it 3,000? And the IFC doesn't look at it that way, and the IFC is the authority here. The IFC says it's the purpose of it. If it's going to be used to keep the specific languages, if it's going to be used for retain, and leaving of the hazardous material, that's storage. It doesn't really matter.
Sorry, to keep, retain.
Yeah, here, I'll have the.
What's the number of the statute? Or reg?
It's IFC 202, and it's the definition of storage of hazardous materials, and it's defined as the keeping, retention, or leaving of hazard material in closed tanks. And so the focus of the lower court, too, is on this number. And that number isn't relevant. It's what the purpose is. And that's why the fire department and then also the fire inspector who came out there asked them, what are you using this for? And their answer was, we're going to keep it over here. We're going to maybe move it weekly. But if you do the calculations, it would actually be twice a month. And then it's going to stay there. And that's the difference. And so, yes, the judge at the lower court did point out that, well, then any vehicle that has fuel in it is always storage. Well, that kind of becomes ridiculous. Then you wouldn't be able to regulate. You couldn't have any regulation of storage of fuel in any airport. So if you go down that line, it doesn't make sense. The difference is the purpose of it. Also here, the concern for the fire chief, as I said, was the material in which it was contained. And that's why there is a specific IFC provision that says storage tankers, because they know this term, a tanker is this thing rolling down the road, cannot be used as a storage tank. And that's that difference there. It's those two things. Understandably, the IFC cannot address all of the possible situations that can arise on the airport. And that's why it specifically then gives the discretion to the expert, right? The expert is the fire chief for the city. The discretion is specifically given to him. And in this case, because of the purpose, because of the type of tank, you know, the storage was this vehicle as opposed to a true storage tank. And because his concern, I mean, the fire chief has made it very clear that if there is a catastrophic accident at the airport, that community services aren't provided. They have two ambulances and maybe a third. Like, that's it. So that was the other thing, is that when they allow these things to happen, you're putting at risk the public safety. And so it was his discretion under the IFC that he said that it just can't be used in that manner.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Steve Kish with Howard & Howard Attorneys on behalf of the respondent, BFE LLC. Justice Pickering, you had asked about the status quo, particularly with regard to Lake Mead Air. And that is found in the record at Appendix Volume 2, pages 232 through 33. And the period of time there was from 1993 to 2003. The city allowed Lake Mead Air to operate a 4,000-gallon tanker truck or mobile refueler at the airport that had attached to it a 4,000-gallon tank trailer. So when we talk about the status quo in this case had always been that the mobile refuelers at Boulder City Airport were allowed to get their fuel from any source, were allowed to use their tankers without applying for a construction permit, and allowed to go around the airport refueling, including in instances when those vehicles exceeded 5,000 or 4,000 gallon capacities.
Hi, it's Justice
Stewart. Yes, Your Honor.
Just briefly, so 20 years ago, someone had a four attached to a four. Since that time,
yes, Your Honor.
Yeah, they're looking at the use here, and it doesn't seem to be really in dispute that the intention of the large tanker is for BFE to utilize its smaller tankers to refill the airfield. Isn't that correct? They're going to park the 8,500 or 10,000 tanker, then they're going to use their 3,000 mobile tenders to get gas and to bring it out to the other units.
So, Your Honor, the stated intent was never to utilize this as storage. And so that is, in fact, a point of dispute. And we can see in the record, particularly at the motion hearing, at which there was conflicting evidence given on that point. Because as Justice Hardesty acknowledged, these tankers had never been operated. The use had not yet been established. And so
what was the use going to be? Yeah. And what would be the need for mobile tenders if you were going to use the large tanker to drive around and refuel the aircraft?
So the use of the 10,000-gallon tankers, the fact that they would no longer need to utilize the city's fuel farm, which BFE felt was unsafe. And the city just represented that all of these mobile tankers, the smaller capacity vehicles, would use ostensibly the fuel farm because it was simply not economical to go up to McCarran and refuel there.
Prior to your purchase of the larger tanker, your mobile tenders used the fuel farm.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. And the fuel farm stored fuel, and the mobile tenders would get fuel from the fuel farm and then drive out on the tarmac and refill the aircraft.
Yes, Your Honor.
So the large tanker, as you just said, was going to take the place of the fuel farm.
Not necessarily, Your Honor, because it could be moved around the airport and used to dispense fuel. And I know, Justice Pickering, you had asked about this.
Hold on one moment. But you also were using it to refill the mobile tenders that would then go out to aircraft, correct?
No, Your Honor. We never used it.
Well, the intended use was to allow it to refill the mobile tenders, in addition to your saying, now I get it, that it had the capability of filling aircraft itself. But I think you conceded this below, that part of the use, at least, was going to be to use it to refill the mobile tenders so that they could go and refill aircraft.
Yes, that was a possible use of the tanker. If the city were to find that that was unenforceable and promulgate a reasonable interpretation of the IFC that was not targeted at BFE, it would abide by that. And in fact, the July 2021 fuel standards have been implemented that have certain provisions to that point.
Since that has been implemented, since that July 21st or 2021st commission meeting, are those 85 or 10,000 tankers, are they actually going out there and fueling up planes and then coming back? Is that tanker actually moving out back and forth and fueling aircraft?
So, Your Honor, while the present use of the tanker was not addressed by the district court and is not in the record at all, there is currently an ongoing dispute between the city and BFE regarding the use of the tanker, because despite the preliminary injunction issuing, there have been continued discussions and disputes about the use of these tankers, which permits are necessary, whether or not the Boulder City Fire Department is going to send somebody out to conduct an inspection. So the BFE has not yet been able to use its tankers because the city has continued to refuse to give it clearance to do so.
So despite the injunction, you haven't even used them?
No, Your Honor. That's my understanding. But none of those facts are in the record, and it's not before this court now.
What's been happening in district court? And you're limited, I know, by what you can say, but this case got appealed on an order granting a preliminary injunction. So it didn't divest the district court of jurisdiction for everything else to keep going. What is the status of the district court case at this point? File on the permanent injunction, declaratory relief motion practice, discovery?
We're in the midst of discovery, Your Honor.
Okay.
So I would imagine that discovery may very well touch on issues like over-the-top tank transfers, which Your Honor references not knowing where it is in the record, and the simple reason for that not being there is that it's not. This over-the-tank transfer argument was never presented to the district court and was never articulated as reason for denying BFE the use of its tankers. And that's really the rub here, is that this case comes down to discretion. And throughout the briefing, the city keeps saying that its determination was supported by substantial evidence. But now on appeal, the question is whether the district court's determination was supported by substantial evidence. Because as this court explained in Dickstein versus Williams in 1977, where a trial court sitting without a jury makes a determination predicated upon conflicting evidence, that determination will not be disturbed on appeal where supported by substantial evidence. And so here, the determination is that the city was acting arbitrarily and capriciously or in bad faith, and as a result, was not entitled to discretionary act immunity. The idea here is that the city of Boulder City regulated first and then came up with a justification second. It issued this warning notice initially saying that the tanker lacked a containment system. And this is found in the-
Let me pause you before you read that. I think we all understand there were a series of inconsistent, or you argue inconsistent, the city argues the opposite, but they took different positions.
Yes,
it was a moving target for you, and I think everyone gets that.
Perfect. But
this was not a trial with live witnesses, and I return to the point this was done on declarations and representations by counsel. Could you comment on whether, and if so or if not, to what extent, we should defer to findings premised on declarations that have some conflict and the unsworn representations of counsel in open court?
And Your Honor, I think Dickstein versus Williams answers the question. When there is conflicting evidence, whether it be via live witness testimony or by declaration, the district court is in the best position to consider the argument. They're the one closest to it. I wasn't at that hearing, so I can't opine as to how exactly everything happened at the hearing. I only have the record before me. This court's in the same position, as is the city's attorney on appeal. So we are not in a position to
be
weighing.
We're in some sense in the same position as the district court. We're looking at declarations and reading transcripts of lawyer argument, and lawyer credibility in arguing a case really shouldn't matter. So what are we deferring to on the factual determination?
The factual determinations as it pertains to the city's discretion, use of that discretion, abuse of that discretion, or action in bad faith, particularly when it is the city attorney, the fire department official that were promulgating these regulations and the inconsistencies seen in those justifications. And so those are factual determinations made by the district court. And this is why in the briefing, we argue that the arguments raised by the city on appeal are improper and were waived. Because when we talk about discretionary act immunity, if you look at the briefing found in the appendix at pages 176 through 183, that's the opposition to the motion for preliminary injunction. And in that opposition,
They just cite NRS 41.032. They don't specify if subsection 1 or 2 applies, and they make no mention of Martinez. I know, Justice Pickering, you had asked about how the facts apply to the four factors. And so in the terms of discretionary immunity, the two important factors are that it is subject to independent choice or an individual choice, which isn't disputed. The dispositive question here is whether or not it is with regard to public policy considerations. And so here, the city on appeal articulates good reasons for public safety, what have you. But if you look at the briefing at page, pages 48 through 49, there are no record sites for these safety concerns. We're talking about the difference between aluminum and steel, but there was no evidence of that before the district court. That was never argued.
What about the IFC, though, what she pointed to, the code 2.02, that the purpose of that is to keep, at least what you've said, is to keep this tanker for storage, I mean, at least part of the time, to refuel the mobile trucks. Why didn't the district court err in not following that, what they've just stated at oral argument?
Because ultimately, the determination that, this was going to be used for storage was perhaps the fourth or fifth justification used, and the several objectively incorrect justifications for the warning notice and the prohibition against the use of the tankers showed that the city was acting in bad faith, arbitrarily and capriciously. And so there are a couple of cases here that really dig into the Berkovitz-Galbert standard that this court adopted in Martinez in 2007. And so the big case here, if you look, is Fallein versus GNLV Corporation, which we cite in our answering brief. And that was actually reaffirmed by this court's decision in 2017 in Franchise Tax Board versus Hyatt. And the important point here is that Fallein held an act of bad faith has no relationship to a rightful prerogative, even if the result is ostensibly within the actor's ambit of authority. So here, the rightful prerogative within the actor's ambit of authority would be the determination that this was being used as storage and is unsafe.
Counsel,
but when you are acting...
Counsel, a couple things. Did the court find bad faith? And if so, where is that finding? Because I'm looking at the order, and I'm not seeing this finding of bad faith on behalf of the city.
You're absolutely right, Your Honor. It makes our job on appeal a little bit more difficult, but it's an imprecision in drafting.
Then let's talk about the finding. But then, counsel, let's talk about what the court did find. So the court found
that
AA 373, that's page 4 of 8 of the order granting the injunction, the tanker is not a storage tank under 5704.2.2, saying basically common sense dictates a mobile fuel tender is not a storage tank. All vehicles categorized as mobile fuel tenders, whatever their fuel capacity, are used to perform both refueling and temporary storage. So it's pretty much saying, if it's got wheels, it's not a storage tank. Now, certainly the intention with which that tanker gets filled matters as to whether it's a storage tank. Don't you agree? If your client had said, we're going to fill this tanker with gas to leave it there, just to store gas in so we could refill it, the fact that it had wheels wouldn't matter, right?
No, Your Honor, that would matter, because the ability to drive that tanker up to McCarran, now Harry Reid, and fill it up and drive it back makes it a mobile tender. If we were parking that tanker on the leasehold premises, putting it up on blocks, and then over the top into the 10,000-gallon tanker...
Well, Mr. Kish, then why would the IFC have a specific section that says that tank vehicles and tank cars shall not be used as storage tanks? Obviously, they could be, and they're not allowed to be.
You're absolutely right, Your Honor. And if you look at the record at the hearing in particular, there was a discussion of a third 10,000-gallon tanker, and it was determined that that belonged to a different entity, referred to as the Serenity tanker. And in that hearing, BFE explained that the Serenity tanker sat there permanently. It did not move at all. And that is an instance where if we were to use that Serenity tanker for storage, we were to put fuel into it and it never moved, then it's being used as a storage tank. So the fact that it can be used as a storage tank does not mean we were doing it in this case. And the prior representations or reasons for denying the use of the tanker shows evidence of bad faith. And that bad faith, to Justice Stiglitz's question, is the arbitrary and capricious finding. When a city acts arbitrarily or capriciously, it is acting in bad faith. And to come to this conclusion, we can look at Franchise Tax Board versus Hyatt, in which this court explained that intentional torts and bad faith conduct are acts, quote, unrelated to any plausible policy objective, and that such acts do not involve the kind of judgment that is intended to be shielded from judicial second guessing. This Franchise Tax Board case just reaffirmed the court's finding in Fallon.
Just out of curiosity, when you said a moment ago that it makes your job more difficult to appeal in regard to Justice Stiglitz's question, didn't you all draft the order that the judge signed?
Appellate counsel didn't draft the order, no, Your Honor. The law firm did. And unfortunately, it was imprecision in drafting. But if you look at Irvine, arbitrary and capricious denial of a permit isn't permitted. Look closely at that footnote 4 because it lays out that arbitrary and capricious finding nicely.
Chief.
Okay. Yes. Any other questions?
Please.
Yes.
Okay. So just a little on a different issue that I don't think we've directly addressed, and that is the requirement of irreparable injury for the preliminary injunction. Your client was at the airport for some years, apparently, managing to function and conduct its business there without having this particular tanker. Why would a prohibition on having that tanker now create an irreparable injury as opposed to maybe some monetary damage?
So the right to conduct business without interference is itself a property right that violation of is an irreparable injury to which compensatory damages are not adequate. And that's laid out in the answering
brief. They weren't stopping you from doing business.
Your Honor, and there's substantial evidence to support the district court's finding on this point because Bob Fahrenstock, BFE's principal, testified to the increasing demand of its customers such that the smaller mobile refuelers of only 10,000 gallons were no longer sufficient to meet demand, and the 10,000-gallon tanker was important for that reason because there were days shown in the record where more than 7,000 gallons of fuel were dispensed.
Okay, thank you.
I want to just circle back. You said you made a representation to us that you are not using, your client is not using the tankers because of additional issues that have arisen. And so is it the case that the preliminary injunction is not being enforced in the district court?
Your Honor, there was a motion for contempt filed, and I know that briefing on that proceeded. I think it might have been stayed at some point.
Okay.
Because if you look in the record, pages 534 through 535, and then excuse me, 547 is a letter from attorney, city attorney, Steve Morris, saying that the minute order notwithstanding, the city was going to continue to enforce its interpretation of the IFC against BFE. And since that time, there have been disputes about whether or not the tankers can drive up to McCarran without a fuel distributor permit.
Okay.
So there are a lot of other factual issues that have developed since.
And for the record, I am married to Steve Morris, but he has no relation at all to the Boulder City Steve Morris.
All right, colleagues, any other questions for the other Steve Morris?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. Alexander, we asked you quite a few questions. The court had a number of questions for you. I'm going to give you two minutes to wrap up.
Thank you. Just briefly, as to the last issue was discussed, that motion for contempt, I am counsel, both trial counsel and appellate counsel, and that we opposed that, and then it was withdrawn. So there has not been any attempts or any anything.
Do you agree that the tankers aren't driving, the 10,000 gallon tanks aren't driving around the airport?
I agree with that.
Correct. Okay.
So evidently there's no harm being suffered. Is that right, Ms. Alexander?
Yeah, our position is that business is being conducted as it always has been, which is they're using the same method that they did prior to this, which is to have fuel from the fuel farm mobile refuelers and going out. And to address Justice Kadish's question about irreparable harm, even the examples that were given, if it's 7,000 gallons, if it's 2,000 gallons, that's all math, that's all money. And so that's the issue, and that's one of the claims that does remain below, which is the damages are capped for the number of days that they were prohibited from using the tankers, and then how many days, what's the difference in profit, and it's an easy calculation. That's the focus of the current trial. It's set for trial in June of this year.
Okay, you got about a half a minute left.
The focus here is that the IFC is in effect. The IFC does not, does say define storage in 202, and it does also in another place say tank cars and tank vehicles should not be used as storage tanks. When the IFC isn't clear, it says specifically that you defer to the chief, fire chief. In addition, the city has the discretion. Judicial interference with that should be very limited. This court has held many times. It wasn't glib. It wasn't just done without a reason. It wasn't done just because there was a rational determination made by the fire chief. Understandably, they don't agree with it. That doesn't mean it wasn't done. So therefore, it wasn't arbitrary and capricious.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Council, we appreciate the briefing in this matter. We appreciate the arguments. Good to see everybody in person today. This matter will stand.